All right, welcome everyone to another deep dive. Today we're looking at something kind of interesting. It's where family law meets pro sports. Specifically, we're going to be talking about NFL severance pay on California divorce cases.
Right.
We got our hands on some cool material here. We got the actual court opinion from a landmark case. It's called In Re Marriage of Horn.
Right.
And we got a case brief on it. And even some background notes for like a hypothetical podcast on this topic.
Nice.
Yeah. So we're going to try and unpack this really interesting question. Is NFL severance pay earned during a marriage considered community property?
Yeah. Good question.
Yeah. And this has implications, I think, not just for family law practitioners, but also just people interested in contract interpretation in general and just sort of the nuances of how marital assets are divided up.
Absolutely. And I think this deep dive into Horn, you know, provides a really good illustration of how these community property laws that we have here in California, you know, deal with assets that are earned during the marriage, but don't actually materialize until much later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, just as a very brief overview for our listeners who may not be familiar, California is a community property state.
Right.
So that means that anything that's acquired from the date of marriage until the date of separation is owned equally by both spouses.
Right.
There are, of course, exceptions like gifts and inheritances remain separate property.
Right.
But the Horn case really forces us to think about, well, how do certain forms of compensation, you know, fit into this framework?
Okay, so let's get into the specifics of the Horn case and the individuals at the center of it. We have Robert and Cindy Horn. They were married from 1974 to 1983.
Okay.
And Robert had a pretty notable NFL career, playing from 1976 to 1983, a full eight seasons, which is super important because in 1982, a collective bargaining agreement was established between the NFL and the Players Association. The CBA. Exactly. The CBA, among other things, included this provision for severance pay. It said that players who complete eight or more seasons would be eligible for a $100,000 payment upon permanent retirement from pro football.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the timing here is kind of interesting,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All eight of his NFL seasons fall within the years he was married to Cindy.
Right.
He did play one more season in 1984, but that was in the now defunct USFL.
Right.
And the severance pay in question was specifically tied to his NFL career and the terms outlined in that 1982 CBA.
Right.
So he'd already met the playing requirements to be eligible for that $100,000 by the time they separated in 1983.
Right, even though he hadn't officially retired yet.
Exactly.
So this gets us to sort of the heart of the legal dispute here, and it boils down to this question. What was the nature of this $100,000 severance pay?
Right.
Was it essentially deferred compensation for all the hard work and dedication that he put in during the marriage?
Sure.
You know, those eight seasons? And if that was the case, then under California's community property laws, it would likely be considered an asset of the marriage.
Right.
But Robert contended it was more of a way to help him transition to life after football.
Okay.
Essentially compensating him for future earnings that he might lose as a result of retiring.
Right.
So if that were the case, you could argue that it's his separate property.
Okay.
And that's really where the legal battle lines were drawn.
So really, the court had to decide, okay, what is the true purpose of this payment?
Exactly. Yeah.
And what are the characteristics?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are a couple key elements to their reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the biggest ones is the analogy they draw between the severance pay and more traditional retirement benefits.
Okay. Yeah.
Think about how retirement benefits work.
Yeah.
You know, you earn them during your years of service, but you don't actually receive those payments until retirement.
Right.
Sometimes decades later.
Yeah.
But the court saw the severance pay specifically
mm-hmm.
because it was tied to the seasons played. In a very similar light, mm-hmm. like this is a form of compensation that he had earned.
Great.
Incrementally throughout his time playing, which happened to coincide completely with the marriage.
Yeah. It's really interesting, this point that you're raising about the court really putting a lot of weight on the actual language of the 1982 CBA.
Yes, exactly.
This wasn't just like some discretionary bonus or a goodwill gesture from the NFL.
Right.
You know, it was a contractual right.
Yes.
That was guaranteed once a player reached that eight season mark and permanently retired.
Yes.
And the payment wasn't contingent on, you know, him losing his job or struggling to find a job afterwards.
Right.
In fact, the court noted that even if he chose to retire voluntarily and did something else that was successful, he would still be entitled to that money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important to understand that distinction.
Yeah.
Because it's very different from other types of payments, like termination pay, for instance.
Right.
Because this NFL severance was a guaranteed right based on past performance.
Right. Yeah.
Those seasons that he had played, again, during the marriage.
Right, right.
The court said that the right to receive that payment had already vested as community property.
Right.
It was just waiting to be distributed.
Right, right.
So for our listeners, vested basically means that he had already done everything necessary to be entitled to that money.
Right, yeah.
By the time they separated.
Right.
Even though he hadn't gotten it yet.
So this brings us to another fascinating legal concept that played a role in the court's decision.
Okay.
Which is called the parole evidence rule.
Right.
Now, our sources say that Robert tried to introduce testimony from, I believe, someone involved with the union negotiations.
Okay.
And he argued that the intent behind the severance pay provision in the CBA was to help players transition into life after football. However, the court basically disallowed this testimony, citing the parole evidence rule. So let's unpack this a little bit. Think of it like this. If you have a clear written contract, let's say, for buying a car, and it says the price is $20,000, the seller can't later say, oh, no, there was this verbal agreement. You actually owe me $22,000.
Right, right.
Unless, of course, that original contract was unclear or ambiguous.
Right.
The parole evidence rule basically says that when you have a written contract that's clear and unambiguous, you can't just bring in outside evidence like someone's interpretation of what they think the parties intended.
Right.
To contradict what the actual agreement says.
Right.
So in this case, the CBA very clearly laid out the criteria for the severance pay, 8 seasons played, and permanent retirement. And the court wasn't really persuaded by arguments about some supposed underlying intent,
right,
especially since it wasn't in the actual contract itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the court really focused on the objective terms of that CBA.
Yeah.
What did the agreement actually say? Because it linked the severance payment directly to the number of seasons played.
Right.
And not to any, you know, showing of future financial hardship or job displacement.
Right.
He had fulfilled his end of the deal during the marriage.
Yeah.
By playing those 8 seasons.
Yeah.
And so the right to receive that severance pay had already been earned and had become an asset of the community.
So based on all of this, we can kind of see almost like a horn test, if you will.
Yeah.
For classifying this type of severance pay. So first, was the right to the severance pay established by a clear contract?
Right.
In this case, yes, the CBA.
Yeah.
Second, was that directly tied to work performed during the marriage?
Yeah.
Again, yes, Robert's 8 NFL seasons.
Right.
Third, was the entitlement to that payment basically absolute upon retirement?
Right.
Regardless of whether that retirement was voluntary or involuntary? And again, the answer is yes.
Yes.
And then finally, was the payment contingent on any future loss of earnings or unemployment?
Yeah.
And no, it wasn't. So because all of those conditions were met, the court concluded that this NFL severance pay was community property.
Right.
It really came down to the objective nature of it. It was earned for those services during the marriage.
Right. That's a great way to summarize it. And the significance of this Horn decision is that it sets this precedent.
Right.
For how California courts are going to approach similar situations with severance pay or other benefits that are earned during the marriage but received after the divorce.
Right.
You know, Horn made it clear that severance pay is not automatically separate property just because the actual payment comes after the marriage ends.
Right.
Right. The key is to really look at what that payment is for.
Right.
If it's really deferred compensation for work that was performed during the marriage,
yeah,
then Horn is telling us it's likely community property.
Yeah. And it's so important, as our source material kind of highlights here, to distinguish this type of severance pay from what we usually think of as termination pay.
Right.
Imagine for a second that Robert's severance payment was specifically contingent on him being fired from the NFL, let's say due to injury or just poor performance.
Right.
In those cases, courts have often leaned towards classifying that payment as separate property.
Okay.
Because they see it as compensating that person for unexpectedly losing their job and losing their income.
Okay.
Which happens after the marriage is over.
Right.
So the trigger for the payment is really important. In Horn, the trigger was retirement. And that's kind of an expected end to a professional athlete's career.
Right.
It's not like losing your job unexpectedly.
Right. It's not an adverse event like that.
Exactly. And so, you know, for instance, if you have a tech company that lays off an employee and gives them severance that's based on future lost wages, a court might see that differently from the Horn case.
Right.
Because it's compensating for something that didn't happen during the marriage.
Right. Right. That's a good distinction. This raises another interesting question, though.
Yeah.
What if the severance package has elements of both?
Okay. Yeah.
What if part of it is clearly tied to years of service, just like in Horn?
Right.
But another part of it is specifically to help the person because mm-hmm. they were involuntarily terminated.
Right.
That's where the analysis gets really tricky.
Yeah.
And you might see courts trying to divide it up,
yeah.
figuring out what percentage should be community property yep. and what percentage should be separate.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes sense. And I think for anyone out there who's interested in family law, the Horn case really highlights how important it is to really carefully analyze these employment contracts and compensation structures.
Absolutely.
Don't just rely on the label of severance pay or bonus or stock option and assume you know how it's going to be classified in a divorce.
Right.
You have to understand how that specific payment or benefit is earned.
Yeah.
What triggers it? What is it meant to compensate for?
Yeah.
That's essential for advising clients.
Right. So I guess coming back to our initial question,
yeah.
was that NFL severance pay earned during the marriage considered community property?
Right.
The answer, based on In Re Marriage of Horn, is a resounding yes.
Yes.
Because the court saw it as deferred compensation for those 8 seasons that Robert played in the NFL.
Right.
All of which happened while they were married.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was part of the community estate that had to be divided between them.
So just to sum it up, the key takeaway is that under California divorce law, severance pay that's tied to past performance during the marriage, generally speaking, is community property.
Yeah.
And Horn gives us a good framework for analyzing these types of situations. It really focuses on that contractual right to the payment and the fact that it was earned by the couple.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And as you continue to explore family law, you know, think about these principles from Horn and how they might apply to other types of deferred compensation
right.
or employee benefits that are earned during the marriage but aren't actually received until after the divorce.
Yeah.
Things like stock options that have specific vesting schedules or performance-based bonuses that are earned during the marriage but paid later.
Right, right.
All these things might be subject to similar scrutiny to figure out if they're community or separate property.
That's a great point. Well, thanks for joining us today for this deep dive into California family law. Until next time, keep those legal gears turning and always look beyond the surface.